Let's look at the Bible. John 1, 35 to 51. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When they saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "He's truly an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus said, "I saw you when you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God and you're the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man." Lord, we thank you for the fact that you speak to us through your word. And I pray, Lord, that through this passage of scripture, brought alive by your Holy Spirit, I pray that all of us, Lord, will be lifted and challenged today as you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was about 8 years old, my father was bedridden in the house, wasn't able to walk, wasn't able to breathe. And there's actually a local, very active evangelical Anglican church where the minister used to come and visit him occasionally. And this was because the family across the road went to that church and made sure that he would come and see us. And he brought along a little brown New Testament of some kind. I forgot what version it was. It might have been Good News. It could have been anything. He brought it along and put it there. And I don't think my dad was that interested in it. I mean, my father was nominally Roman Catholic, but as far as I'm aware, it didn't really come across. He didn't really have a belief in God that I understood. He may have done, but it's something I have a piece about. But the book was there, and I looked at the book with scorn and thought, what is there in that book that could benefit me in any way? What is there in there that could benefit my life? How wrong I was. God has spoken to me through the Word of God, high and low, through every and any situation. Even this morning when Roger shared that because of something he heard in a song. I mean, when he stood here sharing that, that lifted me up. But when God speaks to you personally, and privately, it is just brilliant. I mean, these guys were sat there. Jesus walks along, looks at who they are and who they're going to be, and is absolutely enraptured, and they're enraptured. So God's come along and says, isn't it amazing when God speaks to you personally? Right in the middle of your life, your problems in the family, at home, church, that when God speaks to you personally and privately, It's just the best thing ever. And I would say, if you do nothing else in your life, try and get a personal word from God. And he says here, they say, "Where are you staying?" And he's saying, "Come along and you will see." So in other words, Jesus is aware of a kingdom, a society, something that is so different from where they are. "Come along and you will see." It's like when I was first invited to church, it was, "Come along and you will see. Come along and you will see love and acceptance, and you will see something which is different from the life that you have got." Because the life that you have got had before, and the life that they had before, was a life where it's dog eat dog. You've got to be better than this person. Or that person has a restriction of some way, or is different. In some way, therefore, we ostracize them. But when you come into the kingdom of God, ideally, there is the love and the acceptance of Christ. And God speaks to you. He speaks to you directly. They left their stuff to follow him. Now, when we come to Jesus, we come along with stuff. I've still got stuff. Is there anybody in this room who hasn't got stuff? But they left their stuff to follow him. What does that mean? Does it mean you just completely shut yourself off from the past and say, well, actually, that was irrelevant? No, of course you can't. Quite often you have to carry this stuff for ages. We come into the kingdom of God. Somebody once had a prophetic word over me and said that when you came to our church, this was in Derby years ago, I saw you coming out of the sea covered in seaweed. And some of that seaweed will be there for many, many years. And guess what? Some of it's still here. The past is always with us. But if we can leave it with Jesus and follow him, then when he grabs hold of it, he will do what he wants with it. He will never condemn us. He will never pressurize us to do something. He will never force us into it. He will help us gently with it. But guess what? When we're following him, he can then speak into our lives. There were times when I've just wanted to say, God, speak into my life. But then I thought, no, please don't, because you'll say something and you'll tell me to do something that I don't want to do. But when God does speak, it is never like that. It is yes, it's challenging, but there's always grace. There's always a way through. You know, when the devil speaks, he pushes us. But when God speaks, when Jesus speaks, when the Holy Spirit moves in power and speaks on you, it is always something very, 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 very good. In the church I was at in Derby, there's this Indian guy from a Sikh or Hindu background, can't remember, his name was Ram. And he basically came along to their church. Now, it was after I'd left, because I'd moved to Guernsey to marry Jackie 25 years ago. But after I'd left, he'd gone along with mutual friends who were Christians, and he'd fallen over in the Holy Spirit. And when he fell over in the Holy Spirit in the service, the Holy Spirit hit him. You know, Jesus appeared to him, and he could see. It's really, really incredible. And he just saw Jesus speak to him, and God said all kinds of things about his life. And he got up, and he was a fiery Christian after that. And it changed so much. But when God doesn't always speak to you like that. He will speak to you however or in whatever way. But when he speaks into your life personally, not just through the Word of God, because the Word of God's great, that's where it starts, but when he speaks by the Holy Spirit, it tells you what he wants to tell you about you, and you commune with him, and you walk with him. It is the most refreshing thing, and it is the one thing that you need. And quite often we just need to give everything that we're going through to God, and he will walk with us and work with us. You see, these people were given a new identity in Christ. But you're going to be. Verse 42, you were, but you're going to be. And they were given a completely new identity and a new life. People will put their identity on you all the time. You know, when I had another job that was not like this, that was not this job, a secular job, people put their identity on me. People said, you are A, B, C, and D. That's who you are. Or you're the person who does this. Or when I played football when I was young, I was the person who always had to stay in defense because I wasn't good at anything else. Or you are this, or your relatives and family are this, or you are this, or this happened in your life, so therefore you are this. I would say, put those identities down and say, God, what do you say about me? And to round off in a moment, I want to read off a few things to what the Bible says about you and about me. But they when they drew closer, we see what happens when you draw close to God is you get this tremendous evidence for a miraculous God. You find evidence that God is miraculous and that God is powerful and that God is able to do all that he says in the Bible. And I want to guarantee every person here right now that if you're going through something now in your life, you might think, oh, I've tried that, or the best thing to do is get yourself away from God, away with God, go out in the middle of a field, walk down the road, walk on the beach at Kelshot or Leap or wherever, just go somewhere, get in the park and get alone with God and talk to God about it. And at the very least, God will start to do something which will be so refreshing and so mighty and so powerful. And I bet every single one of these disciples that he came along and said, you are, but you will be, had things happening in their lives. And he gave them a new identity. And he gave them something fresh. I bet some of them thought, oh, I know God anyway. You know, my uncle's great grandmother's second cousin twice removed is a Jew and goes to the temple. Therefore, I know what to do. But God gave them a new identity. And how do you know me, Nathanael asked. Jesus said, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Isn't that incredible? That he actually saw something about him. See, at that moment, you just feel, When God speaks to you like that, or when God speaks to you through words or through prophecy or anything else like that, it's like all your problems just kind of just not go out the window, but it's like you think, wow, God is on my case. He's real and he's on my case, and he knows about me and he forgives me. I thought he rejected me, but he hasn't. He loves me. And that was one of the things that made these people, particularly Nathanael, who's also called Bartholomew, Jesus, thought, my gosh, if he's able to know me and speak to me like this, I want to follow him. Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And God speaks into our lives miraculously, although sometimes we don't think that he's doing miracles. We just think that it's chance. A man late for an important meeting was searching desperately for a parking spot in a crowded car park. Looking up to the sky, he shouted out, Lord, if you find me a parking spot, I promise to definitely start going to church again. Definitely. Find me a parking spot, I'll go back to church. The words were barely out of his mouth when a parking spot opened right in front of him. The man looked back up and said, never mind, God, I've just found one. And they were told then how God wanted to use them in the future. So God says, A, you're important. B, I'm miraculous and I know stuff about you, but this is how I want to use you in the future. Verse 50, Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. You will see heaven open and the angels and ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So it reaches right into their situation and says, I know it's bad. I can sort it out. Things are going to be good in the future if you stay with me. And you might think, well, actually, I'm rubbish. You see, one of the things that put me off going into church when I was young, when I was particularly a teenager, and you've got to understand this, and the fact that this happened to me makes me realize that this must be the case with a lot of people who come to church the first time, or a lot of other people. What put me off was the fact that I didn't think that I was anywhere near good enough to go to any public building. I just thought I was a complete loser. I thought I wasn't good enough to have friends or anything. I was just kind of, everyone else is normal. They all go to church and discos and school and whatever. But I'm kind of down there, right down there because I'm a weirdo. That's what I thought. And that put me off going in. But when I realized that God thought that I was just like everybody else, just as important as everybody else, that gave me the desire to follow Jesus. And then they told others. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. How did they know they found the Messiah? Not so much for anything Jesus did or didn't say or did add, but they just knew it because they were with him. And Jesus isn't condemning to those who are humble. And they knew that when they were with him, they probably thought, oh no, he's going to say I'm bad because of this, I'm bad because of that. But actually, he didn't do that. If he was going to do that, he'd have done it at a later date. God doesn't pile all your sins on you. If he wants to talk to you about something, he'll do it at the right time. But then they went and told other people, we have found the Messiah. We've found the Messiah. It's like the woman caught in sin comes along and about to be stoned to death. Goodness knows what that must feel like for a woman in that society many, many years ago. And then Jesus walks along, and she should have known who Jesus was. She would have thought, goodness me, he's going to pick up a big rock and throw it at me. He's like one of the top guys. But he knew what to do. He came alongside. He was gentle and loving, and he brought the right thing in. And that's what he'll do to you. He's not going to go A, B, C, D, and E, get lost. You thought you were a Christian. He deals with you on your level. They told others. And then they brought others to him. He went away, and verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. They brought others to him. So that when we realize that we're actually not a waste of space because of this that happened at school or in my family or in my job or my exams or everything else, that I'm actually, and I might not look like everybody else. I made everybody laugh yesterday. I said me and Justice are similar. I said, apart from looking the same, and the whole room roared. I said, we both have the same car, and me and Justice have the same exactly the same car, identically, but his is in a better condition than mine. But God knows everything about us. Absolutely every single thing about us. And when he comes into our lives, when he transforms us, he creates in us an ability to then bring others to him. He knows everything about us. He uses us as we are. And they thought that this Jesus was going to do something else for other people, redeem Israel. But actually, he redeemed them. He redeemed their souls and did something powerful for them. He said, very truly, you will see heaven open, verse 51, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I want to say to you today that if you were to connect with God in whatever way you want to, he will speak to you. He will share with you what he's got to share with you. And when he does it, it is the most refreshing thing ever. And it could be today that when you're here, that God will speak right into your situation through the rest of this sermon, for a prophecy, through worship, or for a conversation with somebody else. You know, never be afraid of sharing something with a friend that God might have plucked into your mind and given you in your spirit for them. See, when the Bible speaks to us, this little brown book that I looked at and thought, is there anything in this Christian thing that would ever help me? Is there anything in this Christian thing that would ever be of benefit for me? How wrong I was when I thought that it was just irrelevant. The Bible speaks to us in powerful ways. I mean, it reminds us to witness, teaches us about God, keeps us away from temptation, reminds us of God's point of view of us when we have forgotten it. The Bible doesn't ever say that God condemns us. You know, we are chosen and we are accepted by God. When you read through certain parts of the Bible, you get the impression that we've got to be perfect for God to accept us. And only just those who might just get over the line and might be good enough will be saved and go to heaven. But you see, the Apostle Paul, who was saved by God, was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he drew closer to God to such a degree that he inspired him to write books like Romans and Ephesians. And in that deep revelation from the Holy Spirit, we realize, wow, and Peter as well, that if you believe in God and you're following him and you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus knew before time you'd do that anyway, and he's elected you for salvation. How incredible. Isn't that amazing? Jesus knew that you would struggle with that sin. Jesus knew. And he said, well, actually, that person has just messed up in that area. They've just walked away from church and they've just fallen out with that person. But actually, I knew they'd believe in me, so I've elected them and chosen them from salvation. And I'm going to perfect them in my image in their lifetime, and they're going to follow me. And when you really know that, and when you really feel it, and when it becomes real inside, it's just all you need, and it's the thing you've been seeking for. And that we can forget that as Christians. God's word helps us when we're afraid, lifts us when we're depressed, guides us when we need direction, reassures us when we feel guilty, comforts us when we're bereaved, reminds us of the reality of God's Holy Spirit and power, and gives new purpose when feeling rejected. And finally, it points the way to salvation. Points the way to salvation. What is salvation? Very simply this, that Jesus Christ and the life he gives to us, he isn't just the Son of God, but he's an essential choice. That before we even knew how to walk or anything else, even found out about how to speak the language that we speak, mankind was destined for hell, eternal hell, because we rejected Jesus Christ and also because mankind had gone away from him. But Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, knew all the pain we faced and faced an awful lot of pain himself and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, rose 3 days later on Easter Sunday, was 3 days later, we say Easter Sunday, and to prove that there is something beyond death. And he speaks to every person here who hasn't done it, and every person elsewhere, and says, accept me as your Lord and Savior and follow me in your lifetime. And yes, you will just discover the most incredible treasures where you wouldn't imagine there would be some. But you will also have an assurance of heaven. And let me tell you this, when you go from this world, whenever it is, into the next world, into heaven, you will be absolutely and totally amazed in the first, even in the first second, of how much different it is. Heaven is a real place. It's the eternal home for those who follow God. And let me tell you, you know, it just gets better and better. God is real. God, the life that he will, but he wants to pour a little bit of heaven into us. He wants to speak to us. He did that to these disciples and said, yeah, I saw you sitting under that tree, but I want to pour a bit more. And you might think, well, I can't do that because actually those amazing people, those other Christians at that church or the people on the stage, they do all the prophecy thing. I can't do that because, well, I haven't been for church for a while and I don't feel very good and I'm tempted in this area. And God says, shut up, forget all them. They're just as bad as you. You know, they come running to me crying every day as well that they don't feel good. And God says, look, just speak to me. Listen to what I've got to say. I want to speak into your life. And if I challenge you today, I'm just, in a few moments, I'm just going to read out some things, what the Bible says about us and who we are in Christ. But if I challenge you today, it'd be just to do one thing, that at some point this week, you get close to God and try and allow him to speak into your life. Do it through somebody, another Christian prophesying or a leader speaking or house group or youth group or reading the Bible or watching a Christian program or just spending time alone with God. But get that word, get that thing, because even though you might be going through something very, very difficult, Jesus can speak into your life and he can speak into your life very powerfully. What does the Bible say about us? Several things it says about you today. It says that you are a child of God, John 1 verse 12. You are a branch of the true vine, John 15, 1 to 5. You are a friend of Jesus, John 15, 15. You have been justified and redeemed, Romans 3, 24. If you're a follower of Jesus, you will not be condemned by God at all, Romans 8, verse 1. You have been accepted by Christ, that's you. You, the person who makes those mistakes. You, the person who does those things at night that you would not want others to know or hear about. You have been accepted by Christ. God knows he doesn't condemn you and he wants to work with you. Your body, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. God leads you in triumph and knowledge of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2. 14. So I want to remind you today through this, quite simply, that whatever you're going through as a Christian or a non-Christian, whatever you believe or don't believe, if you allow Jesus Christ to speak into your life, he will give you new, fresh direction and joy and power today for those new horrible things that have happened today. Because guess what? By this time next week, other things will have happened in your life. Something will happen at college or school or this or that. And then you'll need some fresh stuff. You'll think, oh no, this has happened. Oh, have you seen this email from this person? Or this text or this bill that's come through? Oh no, my life's about to end. Oh, but actually, if we reach out to God, he will give us new stuff. He will give us a new way. And he will give us new direction and strength. I would imagine that every single disciple who spoke to Jesus, who met him, who spent time with him, was at the end of their tether in some way. I would imagine that the people at the Sermon on the Mount were at the end of their tether thinking, where do we go? How do we carry on? This rabbi is listening here. We'll sit and listen because there's nothing else to do. And Jesus always speaks into your life in a way that is, you know, that is powerful. But sometimes he has to do certain things. One thing I love eating, and some of you will go, ugh, is corned beef, egg and chips. I knew that Susie was the first person to say that. But what I like is so slices of corned beef. I mean, that's a decade off your life before you even start. Right, chips. And then eggs. Now, with the eggs, the problem with the eggs, you've got to break them and fry them, right? So you basically get the egg, you tap it around with a knife, break it open, and put it in the pan. It's brilliant. But you've got to break the egg. And if you make a cake, you've got to break the egg in the same way. And if you make something else or an omelet, you've got to break the egg. And I believe that see God with you, some of you at the moment, is breaking the shell. Don't be afraid. Don't think it's all over. But he wants to turn you into an omelet. He wants to turn you into cake. And he might even want to turn you into pancakes. He might even want to turn you into corned beef, egg and chips. But I believe, you know, food aside, I believe that God wants to do something in all of us. And you know, in my life, the shell is broken in so many ways. You know, and maybe in some of you, you're facing things where the shell has broken. When it breaks, you think, oh, God's a million miles away. But God is doing something in you. And you think, you might think, I haven't got anywhere near in me the ability to be what God wants me to be. Don't worry. He's breaking the shell for a reason, and he's making you to be something. And I want to remind you, we're going to move to a time of communion now, but I don't want to rush it. I just want to remind you today, whoever you are, that Jesus Christ loves you as his personal Savior. Absolutely loves you, as your personal Savior. He loves you as you are. He might be breaking the shell. He might have done those horrible things. He might have allowed those things to happen to get you somewhere. But guess what? When you read the pages of the Bible, you will see other people who have also been through this type of thing. And God has made something good out of it. Peter, Paul, Ruth, Esther, any of these people in the Bible have been through stuff and come out in the end and thought, now I know that God is real. And Nathaniel and all of these disciples who experienced Jesus speaking into their lives went to this strange rabbi and found out that he was miraculous. He knows the past, he knows the future. And I want to give testimony today to say that the Christian life is the greatest adventure you will ever have. I love being a Christian. Now, I'm going away to Elim conference, not next week, the week after. And, you know, it's actually not that much an Elim thing. They get people from different streams and groups in who come in and share stuff. And for me, it would be good just to get a bit of input. And I'm looking forward to hearing God speak to me in that sort of thing. And I would say to you, get yourself in places where God can speak to you. Because this is a rhema word of God right now, and we'll finish quite simply, that Jesus has the answer. Jesus is powerful enough. And what you're going through now wasn't a shock to him when it started to happen. And he's got the way through. We might never know the reason why things happen, and sometimes it's not a good thing to know. But Jesus has got the answer. He's powerful enough. He knew about it. And maybe the shell being broke at the moment is all part of the process. Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for this scripture in John, where you called some of the first disciples. You knew what they were, and you said, this is what you are, and this is what you will be. I saw you when you were under the broom tree. And Lord, I know that you're like that with us. And maybe some of us may think, my gosh, the Lord saw me back then doing that. How difficult, you know, how embarrassed am I? But God can deal with that. Lord, we know that you died for us because we weren't good enough, Lord. We weren't good enough to be saved ourselves. We can be as good as possible, but it's never good enough. It's filthy rags. And we had a wedding banquet here yesterday. And in the Bible, the person who was thrown out of the wedding banquet because they had the wrong garment on. And we know, looking at the whole of the New Testament, well, that garment was not good works. It was faith and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which was the correct garment. When anyone tries to wear the garment of good works, you know, God, it's not acceptable to you. We know, Lord, that good works come out of a relationship with you, but they are not what save us. Most righteous person on this planet can never be good enough. We thank you for that. We rest in you today. I just want to pray. I pray for every person here who is struggling with sin, temptation, who is struggling with doubt, bereavement, or disappointment, or anything else, Lord, that they will somehow this week find the time or the ability to just connect with you. Even if you speak to them in a dream, Lord, I pray that you will help them to realize that a time with you will be far more productive and far more joyous and than any word that any preacher here could bring on its own. Thank you for that truth. Amen.